Hi.
Hi.
Welcome to Waldman's Words. It's always weird for me to say my own name, and it's kind of a tongue twister.
Waldman's Words, I can't do it twice.
Featuring the lovely and talented and verbose Emily Burke.
Thank you.
Welcome. Yeah. And who's going to be on right now?
Mike Herrera.
Yeah, he is. I'm stoked. I'm a fan of MXPX. I've seen MXPX a whole bunch of times, and an extremely memorable one for me was in the Warped Tour, or on the Warped Tour, or at Warped Tour, in 2000 at Randall's Island with Green Day on just before them. So that was pretty crazy.
Whoa.
Yeah. I know there's really no hierarchy at Warped. If you're on the main stage or if you're on any stage, they shift you all the time, but it was just so sick to see Green Day play, burn their entire drum kit, go nuts, and then MXPX played again. And it's funny because everyone calls Warped Tour Punk Rock Summer Camp, and I recall getting a t-shirt from MXPX that said Punk Rock Summer Camp on it. So, but he's not going to be here just to discuss MXPX or Tumble Down or any of the music he plays. He also is a very prolific podcaster. Yes, he is. Emily, what do you think of Mr. Herrera?
I think he's a very prolific podcaster.
Speaking of alliteration and tongue twisters, can you say prolific podcaster four times fast?
Prolific podcaster, prolific podcaster, prolific podcaster, prolific podcaster. I can.
Not only can you, but you acknowledge that you could immediately after doing it.
I'm really proud.
I'm proud of you too. So Emily and I are very happy to have Mr. Mike Herrera on the show. And we record these shows. They don't run live. They run at 5 p.m., as you know, because you're listening to this right now, unless you're listening to a downloaded one. 5 p.m. on Tuesdays, our time, which is Pacific. I just hit my chest, our time. Like, you can see that, but can't. And 8 o'clock on the Eastern Coast. And as well on Sundays at
8 a.m. on the Eastern Coast, or 5 a.m. on the Pacific.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Our next guest, actually right after this, is named Stephen Horowitz, and his episode will be airing a week after this one is on. And Stephen is a friend and a very prolific writer, actually, at Billboard Magazine. And we have a whole slew of guests coming up, but it's been a kind of, it's not even kind of, it's been a very busy summer for Waldman's Words. Am I correct?
Oh, yes, very correct.
Well, you know what I'm doing this weekend?
Oh, it's not dead.
Damn right I am. And it's awesome because by the time this airs, It's Not Dead will already be dead, even though it's not dead. But I'm having a dude from MXPX whose band totally would have made sense on It's Not Dead. And I'm just going to name four bands that I'm excited to see on Saturday, which is no longer Saturday. It's the previous Saturday. Times are messed up. But I'm going to see Rancid. I'm going to see Me First and the Gimme Gimmies. I'm going to see Good Riddance. And I'm going to see the Mad Caddies.
It's a good four.
It's a great four. And what's awesome about this is you intern for Epitaph Records.
I do.
And Rancid was one of the, I guess, first three or four bands I heard on that label. So Epitaph rules. It's Not Dead 2 rules. Shout out to Mike Cubillos for appointing me as the Adobe rep. And I just want to go down and say, before I get all fanboy on Mike, and we've had a lot of Mikes lately on this show.
We always have Mikes on this show.
Mike Fishkin, Mike Herrera, Mike Mowry, Mike Cubillos. I'm not going to make a really vulgar joke. Don't roll your eyes at me. So, at any rate, Mike Herrera, we appreciate your time. I hope that everyone listening enjoys this and stick around for whatever commercials or songs they're playing. And Emily, can you give one adjective to describe what you think this show is going to be like?
I feel like you're laughing because you already know what I'm going to say, but it's prolific.
I actually didn't know that, and that's because I am pro-stupid.
Oh, good one.
Thank you. Not as good as prolific, so stick around for Mike Herrera where we will talk about all things behind the scenes whilst being in front of the scenes. Oh, and one more thing. So I saw a lot of bands at Warped Tour this summer, and towards the end of the tour, Goldfinger hopped on for some dates, and Mike happened to play bass for Goldfinger, which made me very happy. I'll give an adjective to describe that experience.
Happy. I saw that too, and it was really good.
You're just so smart.
Yeah, thanks.
Anyway, stick around for Emily Burke's words. Hello, welcome to Waldman's Words with Emily Burke and Mike Herrera.
Hi.
Hey, what's going on?
You know, we were just talking about podcasts. So I guess to start this show, the Mike Herrera Hour. This is currently the Mike Herrera 50 Minutes on the Waldman's Words. So I'm sorry to cut you off by about, you know, 1/6. So we're going to start this with an apology.
You know, I try not to ever assume too much, you know, that does.
Yeah, it makes
you and me.
It makes a butt out of Jew and Guy.
Okay, yes, exactly.
Thank you.
And I have low expectations. Very low expectations. I don't expect anything. I'm happy to have 50 minutes. And we can talk about...
Your low expectations and what that makes me feel like? Because that makes... I was genuinely excited with high expectations, so thank you for that.
You're welcome. But I meant in life.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Like when you're waiting for your coffee, you don't expect it to be the fastest coffee ever to get to you. Expect, I might have to wait a minute.
I just want to say something because I was trying not to be MXPX fanboy, so I got that out of the intro. But I will be Seattle coffee fanboy. And I will tell you, I know that Bremerton is not Seattle, but it's closer to Seattle than Long Island is. I can tell you that factually. And I've never had better coffee in my entire life than I have in Seattle. Ever.
Well, it's the capital of coffee, even though, like, none of it is actually made there. It's, like, not grown there, right?
It's not South American?
Like, we don't grow coffee. We just like, get it shipped to Seattle, and then Seattle ordains it.
Oh.
And then it goes into the world.
You know I'm an ordained minister? Just so you know, I was raised Jewish, and we won't – trust me, I'm sure you've spoken about – religion infinite times, so I'm not going to do that to you. I heard this rumor that you've discussed that once or 750,000 times, but I'm ordained to marry anyone as a minister. I've done it before, and I got to tell you something. I would love to marry a Sumatra to an Ethiopian coffee. I would love to do that.
That can be done in certain states.
Yeah, well, we're same wow. Coffee marriage is legal in some states. I know in Indiana it's not cool.
Or different coffee marriage. What?
Sure.
Technically, right?
Same species of coffee marriage. Hey, Emily.
I don't know much about coffee, to be honest, so I wish I could, like, elaborate on that. But I quit drinking coffee. Can you believe that?
I don't believe it, Mike. I don't believe you.
I quit drinking all caffeine.
What?
Wow.
Rest assured, I actually have ordered a decaf cappuccino a few times just so I could, like, enjoy the moment with my company. But aside from that, I quit coffee. I quit caffeine. Now it's pretty much just all booze, beer, water.
Okay.
And I'm kind of obsessed with – we're going to keep talking about food.
No, dude, we don't have to talk about anything substantive this entire show. So this is fine. And it's funny that you actually said I gave up coffee. And the people listening to the show are going to have to rewind this eventually. But you said rest assured and coffee. And your rest will be assured if you don't drink coffee.
Yeah.
So you could put that on a tumble-down shirt. Just cite the Waldman. Just cite the Waldman.
Cite the Waldman.
That's it.
You just want – curation credit.
Well, could you imagine – Well, of course I do. I mean, this show is complete business. You know how much I make at Adobe, bro? Bro, I make bank at Adobe. But the thing is that I was having this discussion the other day because I assume you're a few years older than I am just based on when I was – I'm 36, so I'm guessing, and you do not have to confirm or deny, but I'm guessing you're like 38 or 39. Guessing. Could be wrong.
You're very close.
You're 40. Close. You're 40.
I'm 40.
Okay. Well, I was close. So you would have been the senior beating the crap out of me. But basically, the thing is that can you imagine if, because I guarantee that this person didn't get royalties on this, the person who photographed the cover of Nevermind with the baby and the ding-a-ling, I bet he got a one-time fee. and he doesn't get royalties, and that is just as iconic as the music.
Yeah, I agree. Does that bum you out? You think about that kind of stuff?
I'm telling you, I have a severe case, as we discussed, of OCD and stress. So yeah, it bums me out so much, more than my own personal problems. Like, whoever photographed Abbey Road, I am still with my fist in the air going, why didn't you get a contingency? Sorry.
Oh my God, that is lit. So how long have you been doing this show, by the way, Scott?
You can tell how new it is, and I love it. Now, I've been doing this for about a year. I'll give you a quick elevator pitch of me, and then we're going to talk about you. Well, we've known each other very vaguely, just audience members and Emily. The City Drive, my old band, was on Columbia. We were never fortunate enough to play with MXPX or Tumble Down or anything like that. But I believe I met you at the Knitting Factory when John Nolan was opening for Tumble Down years ago, before it shut down and Hollywood got really gentrified. And I started managing 2.5 years ago, and this show, Waldman's Words, premiered just after I got married. Actually, I got married August 27th last year, so it's been on for almost a year now. And it's usually people behind the scenes, which is why the badass episode the other week with Shane Told, who has a podcast as well, is in the same category as the badass Mike Herrera, because it's a guy who's in front of the stage and still does that and also does what you do behind it. So that was a really long-winded answer to your question.
That's good. The reason I asked, because you were saying you were booked like a year out.
Yeah, I know.
As a podcast host, I think the thing that is my kryptonite, to be honest, and hopefully some listeners get some value out of this conversation.
They won't.
We'll get a little more serious, but I
do want to talk about Game of Thrones, but maybe we'll leave that till later. Mm-hmm. But are you into Game of Thrones?
I am, and I'm not caught up on this season. Emily, wait, are you caught up? I guarantee you are.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Oh my God! Spoiler
alert. Don't be that guy! Don't be that guy!
I won't do that.
I can tell you that the Red Wedding was awesome. The Red Wedding episode.
Okay, I did see that. But I won't talk about this season. I won't talk about it at all. But I want to so bad, because I have a lot of fun gripes.
Yo, text me in a week, and we can talk about it. Because in that week, I'll be caught up, and then we'll be like, oh, damn! But sidebar.
Binge up, baby. Yeah. Binge up.
Well, I mean, I love that, someone of your age still watches modern television.
Oh, come on.
Yes.
Oh, that hurts.
Does it hurt your back?
I'm not watching MASH reruns.
You wake up every day and watch the Ed Sullivan Show and you read your copy of Time Magazine. That's awesome.
Yeah, so you're saying you're booked out for a year at Adobe.
Yeah, I don't like
to... I've been doing this show for a while, my show, but...
Real quick, and then I'll let you respond.
No. This is you. I should just zip my lips and listen to you.
No, but I was just saying, like, it's my kryptonite is booking guests. Like, I can't seem to book more than maybe a week or two out. And then, like, so now and then I'll get a few stacked up, I guess. But for the most part, like, I'm doing the show really just the week of.
But you do it from home, right? Or do you do it in your studio?
I do it at my studio, which is in my hometown, Bremerton. Yep. And I also do it, and that's where I'm at right now. I'm actually in the office of my studio.
I can hear that.
It's got a, sorry. It's like right on the outside.
I was
of the
kidding,
house,
man. So like I can't hear that. No, dude, honestly, I live in LA. There's no traffic here whatsoever. But when you talk about a year out, that I tell people this in the emails when I'm booking people. I'm not trying to be cool, but I have a designated time that I'm at Adobe, and that's typically Wednesday mornings from like 11 to noon our time, and that's when I interview people. And so I really, really try to book as long, that's what she said, out. But today I had an interview right after you, and when we were talking about doing the show, which you graciously decided to do, and I'm sure you regret every second of it now, but which you chose to do, I was like, oh, shoot, I can have you in this time. And I really appreciate that you're doing this. And the way that I get people on the show is I just send them an email or a Facebook message or a tweet and just, I don't know. I mean, people are agreeing to do it. But for you, you're definitely more of a higher caliber. Like, you get recognized on the street a hell of a lot more than I do. So I think that you could just get people that you want on sooner. But if it is your kryptonite, you can fix it by watching Superman 2.
I was like, what are you, give me something good. Oh, Superman 2. Like,
give you something good. Heart. So it's wordy girdy ways.
We're too high on that.
Like, I honestly, you know, Babe Ruth struck out a lot, but he hit a lot of home runs, okay? So anyway, let's get into it.
Know, that's my kryptonite. I know it's, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world, but it does sort of,
I don't know, it's hard for me because I don't want to plan my year, to be honest. Like, you're in the same studio every week, right?
Yep.
I may not be, but I should be able to just, like, reschedule. Like, I don't know why I just don't, like, go ahead and try to stack it up and then just reschedule if I have to.
We could talk about this later because I earn my living now as a manager, and I'm definitely not saying I want to be the manager for my career hour, but I'm saying that I can help you organize that. And it's pretty simple. It's just I live and die by my calendar. And so I just – and Emily just dies by my calendar. Please quote on that.
Quote on that.
So, well, I need an Emily, basically.
Yeah. I think I'm helpful.
She is so helpful. I've said this before. In this industry, she is the future. Give her 10 years and she'll be on the cover of Billboard.
Thanks.
I mean it. You're amazing. So I guess let's get to the – your studio, is it called Monkey Trench?
Yeah.
Yay! I got something right.
Monkey Trench. You got it.
Is that a reference to the Foo Fighters song, or is that just, you just thought it was punny?
It's gotta be Monkey Wrench.
No, oh, that's right. Don't wanna be your Monkey Trench. Okay, I got it.
Yeah, basically. So, yeah, the idea behind it is there's a monkey tree in the backyard, but there was already a Monkey Tree Studios somewhere on the web.
Wah, wah.
And, yeah, it's rough. So I was like, oh, well, Monkey Tree's dumb anyway. It's a dumb name for a studio, so I would never call my studio that. But, however, I was kind of like viewing, one, building the studio and then trying to, like, get clients and trying to, like, record people. It's like being in the trench. Not much like being in a real trench, maybe, if you're talking about war, but that's kind of what I paralleled it to.
No, it's like, I'm quoting you on record. This is like Vietnam, your studio. It's
exactly
identical.
Like Vietnam.
Okay.
Mel Gibson was there.
Braveheart was there.
Yeah, Braveheart. No, that's not. Yeah. No.
Same era.
We Were Soldiers is the movie.
Oh, yeah.
That was your trivia. We Were Soldiers.
Or The Patriot.
Great movie, by the way.
The We Were Soldiers is great. What's weird is I'm a huge pacifist, but I like In the Army Now at Pauly Shore and Apocalypse Now. Those are – and Saving Ryan's Privates. I love that movie.
Yeah, great movie.
Great movie.
I haven't watched – I mean, see, it's a good thing all those movies came out when they did because those movies came out when I was on tour for long, long hours. I was not spending my time as wisely as I do now, and I say that with a grain of salt. But I was spending my time differently back then, and back when all – you know, all these badass movies.
Well, Apocalypse Now, as you said, as I said, you're really old, and you're not that much older than I am. Apocalypse Now, I hate to break it to you. If you were touring during the mid-70s, you are way older than I thought you were.
No, I mean, what I mean is, like,
I know
movies were out and available to watch on the bus, and so we spent a lot of time watching movies. But nowadays, I just don't feel like movies are as good, and so
they're
I
not.
Just have gotten away from watching movies.
Well, like you said about having low expectations, I'm the polar opposite, and this is my kryptonite, is I go into every movie expecting, I'm actually not even expecting, but wanting it to be the best movie ever, and clearly not every movie is going to be The Shawshank Redemption, so I'm going to be disappointed. And,
right.
You know, it sucks to have that, but I will sound old. Emily, can you remind the world how old you are?
I'm 20.
Shut up, Emily. So Emily is 20. Yeah, I know, seriously. I have grandchildren older than you. So basically, it's just like, movies, I'm telling you, I mean, you have way lower standards for movies when you're younger. You just do. Because I've revisited certain movies from our youth, and I'm telling you, they do not hold up.
I think mine still holds up.
Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom was my favorite movie growing up, and that is terrible now.
Well, pulling the heart out is never terrible. Spoiler alert.
It's cool, but it just doesn't hold up to my memory. Like, in my imagination, the terror and the acting was so real and so perfect. And then all the effects were perfect. And, and I go back after, like, watching Jurassic Park and all these newer movies, and it's just like, dude, it doesn't add up. But, however, I think the story, like, I would say the opposite about the first Indiana Jones.
Raiders is awesome.
Raiders still is great. So, I mean, there's certain old movies that
hold
that
up.
They measure up. Yeah, hold up. Yeah,
well, I would say
very much, Scott.
Anything for you, Mike. I am going to finish your sandwiches. No, I would say if we're going to rank indie movies, not indie as in indie cred Coachella, but Indiana Jones movies, I'd say Last Crusade is my favorite. Then a close second is Raiders. And then I wouldn't say a close third is Temple of Doom, but the one with Shia LaBeouf, man, I really don't like to talk shit on one's art, but I'm telling you right now, I did not like that movie.
It was too comic booky and not real enough. That's my take.
I agree, and I think that what made Indiana Jones so likable is like he wasn't like Batman. He wasn't superhuman. He was just a smart, smug man who knew how to use a whip. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What up?
Absolutely. I mean, that's the thing is nowadays it's a different story. You know, you get by on your cell phone. Like you just use your cell phone. It's part of you.
I would love it. I would love it.
Constantly Googling something.
Yeah, he would be on Waze. He'd be like, the temple's here. And the little kid who was in Goonies would be like, no, it's over here. And that would be Indiana Jones.
He's got his, like, smart pad, and he's like, no, Dr. Jones.
Yep. Indiana Jones and the Lost Tablet. So,
oh, God, it's for the new generation.
It is. And I've seen kids. I guess we'll focus the second half on this show on more substantive things. Emily, can you please give an adjective to describe this segment?
Young.
Young?
Young and hip.
Young and hip?
This segment, I feel like we're actually kind of mocking young people when, to be honest, I have no problem with cell phones or tablets or technology. It's what I use. It's what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
I listen to tons of podcasts on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the thing, is it's fun. It's fun to just enjoy life and laugh. I got to tell you, I was reading something today. Somebody ordered a nothing burger.
What?
Nonsense.
Wait, what?
So in the UK, this guy didn't want gherkin on his, which is a fancy word.
Slow gherkin. Apparently. Sorry, gherkin, I had to do that.
He didn't want it on his burger, and so he like took it off, and he realized you can literally take off everything. You can take off the bread, you know, the bun, the patty, the cheese, the tomato, the mayonnaise, the mustard, the ketchup.
The pickles.
And so there's nothing on the menu, and it costs 99 cents.
And he paid it?
He paid with his card. They gave him a bag of nothing with a receipt.
Oh, my God. Well, I mean, that's one way to waste someone's time and waste your money.
Yeah, but it really, like, to me, the reason why it's interesting is because nobody's ever thought of this before. Like, it's thinking of things to do that the people didn't intend. Like, of course, you know, McDonald's made an extra dollar off nothing, but that's beside the point, right? Like, just the idea that, like, so many things that we make, that we program, that we have intentions for, end up being useful or unuseful, you know, useful in a bad way for other things.
Yeah, well, I'm going to go on this, and then I'm going to, I guess, say the quick thesis statement of this show and how we've totally abandoned it, and we will totally get there. But basically, and it's not we, it's my fault. I have accountability. It's 100%. No, sorry, it's Emily's fault. But basically, I hate saying whenever I listen back. So have a dollar jar for me, Emily, every time I say So you're going to get a dollar later. I'll Venmo it to you using modern technology. But with – technology and with ordering, I've seen people at restaurants, and this is sans technology, order a chicken Caesar salad with no dressing or chicken. That blows my skull. All right, so anyway, the thesis statement of the show, just so you are aware, is I really try to make it informative for some kid who's living in Manitoba and wants to have a podcast or wants to be the bassist vocalist of a band or wants to be an assistant at Epitaph. For example, Emily across from me works for Epitaph. So that's what the purpose of the show is. But I just want you to know that this whole conversation felt like a conversation, Mike, so I appreciate it.
It was real.
It was fun. But was it real fun? That's the thing.
We'll talk about it in the next segment.
Okay. Well, let's stay tuned. Emily, I guess, can you say a noun to describe this segment? And then we'll stop for a few. We'll listen to some either badass songs on the Adobe Network or some badass commercials.
I'm going to do a proper noun. I'm going to take it up a notch and say Indiana Jones.
I just got to let you know something, Emily. You're the best.
Thanks.
So, Mike, thank you so much. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with the Scott Waldman, Emily Burke, Mike Herrera 50 Minutes.
Hello, and welcome back to Waldman's Words with Scott Waldman, Mike Herrera, and me, Emily Burke.
Yay! Good job.
Thank you.
Hey, Mike, can you please...
Hey,
he's here. He didn't hang up. Can you give us an adjective to describe the previous 21 minutes and 33 seconds?
Story time.
Word. I'll take it. So speaking of story time... What, sorry?
That's anecdotal, right?
Anecdotal. I mean, I wasn't going to correct you and be like, it'd be awesome if I said name an adjective and you were like, seven.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. So you are from the state of Washington. Have you ever lived outside of that state? Aside from being on tour buses and vans and that?
Technically, no.
Wow.
No. I mean, the closest I would ever say would be like a 6 month stint in an apartment in LA.
What part of obviously you don't need to say the address, but what I've lived in LA for 14 years, so I'm just curious.
Like Studio City, Burbank.
That's where we are right now.
A couple different places there.
Oh, dope.
Yeah, making records. I mean, and you know, that besides that, I've never owned a piece of property outside of Washington State until recently, but.
Well, congratulations. I can tell you this. Today is late August, and by the time this airs, it might be early September. But last month, I just purchased my first home, too. So I'm just letting you know, this perpetual debt thing scares me, and thank you. I'm just saying.
Oh, okay. Yeah, perpetual debt. That's the thing is, like, we don't need to get into...
No, let's talk about this. Finances. You work for Bloomberg. I want to hear...
I have been, like, doing what I do, being a I guess you could call what I do as being a creative artist, mm-hmm. Living a creative life. I don't just do music. I do everything and music, you know. So it's like music is the sort of thing that keeps me rolling and keeps people interested in what I do. Mm-hmm. But finances is one of those things that I just hate. And I like to have money because then you can just buy stuff and spend, you know, when you need it. But like, aside from that, I never really was into counting the dollars and knowing exactly what was in the account. Like, I just need to know, are we good? All right, let's keep working. And for me, being a musician, being a singer, a songwriter, I've been allowed to not worry too much about it. But at the same time, it's very important for artists to realize that that's where you can really screw up. Mm-hmm. All your hopes and dreams is by not paying attention to the finances.
By spending a lot of money of your, like, if you get an advance, if you're lucky enough to be in a band that signs a good indie deal or a major label deal, and you blow all that money on a car or on some things, you just got to find ways to budget it. So
yeah, I think one, you know, looking back on my career,
we talk stuff out now and then. We have band meetings. But I don't think we allowed ourselves really the time to really grasp some of the weight of some of the decisions we were making. And also, we didn't really make lists. And to be honest, I do make lists now, but probably not even to the extent that I think I should. And what I mean by that is something very simple. Just grab a piece of paper and just write down all the good things or all the bad things about, like, what doing this show. And, you know, maybe it's like two things. One, we make money. Two, everybody loves us. That's, mm-hmm. you know, the good things. You know, the bad things are, okay, we have to spend time away from our family, okay. Two is...
Well, it's living pros and cons.
It doesn't sell. Yeah, pros and cons. That's what I'm talking about. Like, you don't always have to do it as pros and cons, but it's the most basic thing that I think people understand. Mm-hmm. And that's something we didn't really do when we made decisions back in the day as a band. We just kind of, like, went with our gut, and sometimes we didn't go with our gut. You know how that goes.
Yep.
But, you know, I guess finances is something that I still struggle with, but I also realize it's very important to gut check yourself and to check your people if somebody's doing stuff for you.
Yep.
Never assume. I mean, talk about, like, getting value out of that. We can talk about things not to do if you want.
No, I actually artist, like, you know? Well, as artists or as podcasters or as anything, I feel that
to me, art is art. Anything creative that's like DIY, mm-hmm. you know, how do you define yourself, right? Like,
well, I'm just telling you that I like to give a lot of disclaimers, and I feel that one of the reasons why I did this show is because it's an artist or manager interviewing people is to, like I said, really, really try to educate. And sometimes education comes from people screwing up, like putting a fork in an electric socket so you know not to do that again. So if you have anything that you can say right now as a 700-year-old man, like, what do you think that you would advise those listening if they wanted to? Because, yes, having a podcast is a form of art. It's spoken word. And being in a band, like, what would you say – how can someone learn from one of your mistakes, per se?
I would say, take time to evaluate your situation. Slow down. Today it's really hard to do that because we're constantly on our phones. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram, Facebook.
Yep.
Our own website, our own podcasts. Listening to other podcasts. So it's like now and then I've realized, you know, I need to like shut off my headphones and think about this situation I have coming up.
Disconnect, man.
I haven't really decided what I'm going to do yet. And, you know, we can just go on whim. We can go on gut. We can go on panic. And that kind of works out half the time, maybe, you know. But I feel like our odds increase every time I really think about something. Even if I haven't decided one way or another really what I'm going to do in the end, thinking about it, spending time with it, and the same could go for research, financing, spending time with anything new you're learning. We all fool ourselves when we tell ourselves, I'm going to learn how to do this really well. And then we buy a program or we buy an app or we buy this. Or really what it comes down to is deciding what it is that you really want to do and doing that. But we forget that just because you want to be a painter or a graphic designer or a podcast host or whatever it is, you know, Epitaph, Employee of the Month.
Damn right, Emily.
Of course.
Whatever it is, you know, there's so much more than you realize that comes with that. So it's immersing yourself in the community of what that is, whether it's musicians, podcasters. Like, I would say that me being on your podcast is the first step into immersing myself into your community.
It is. It really is, and it's not an invasive one. It's one that I requested, and I'm happy that you're doing. And two things about what you said, because you said a lot of gold, and I didn't want to interrupt you, but you unintentionally gave an underrated record, Panic, a shout-out, so good on you for that. And also, well, of course, that was that the Side One Dummy record? I think it was.
Yes, it was.
Damn right, labels. And anyway,
you know,
so
label trivia.
A little bit of label trivia for those in the audience listening. Side One Dummy, home of Gaslight Anthem, MXPX, and Jeff Rosenstock. All right, so anyway, podcast. Let's talk about that a bit, because you've spoken endlessly about MXPX. I love MXPX. We can talk about them another time. I'm sure you've spoken lately about Goldfinger, the supergroup of Matchbook Romance Story of the Year, MXPX Goldfinger. It's badass. It's awesome. Love it. High five. But podcasts, that's, I guess, the meat of this conversation. And you said you listen to some, so besides Waldman's Words, which is by far your favorite podcast, what else do you listen to? And is it all music related, or do you kind of run the spectrum of them?
It's mostly not any music related podcast, to be honest.
Good.
I do listen to certain episodes. I'll listen to artists that I want to listen to on other podcasts. So yes, but I would say it runs the gamut. Sometimes I couldn't even begin to tell you. It's so random. But what I usually listen to, and I go back and forth, but Joe Rogan was sort of like what got me into listening to podcasts. And the reason why I got into Joe Rogan, I can blame it on music, because my good friend Chris Wilson, he used to play drums for Good Charlotte.
Yep. And Dangerous Summer, dude.
Yes, Dangerous Summer, and he's been in a lot of bands, but he filled in for Yuri when Yuri had his first kid. Yuri had to drop off a tour unexpectedly, and he came in and toured with us, and we love him to death, and he told me about Joe Rogan. He's like, dude, check out Joe Rogan. He's funny as shit, man. You're going to love this shit. You know? It's like, you know, just, and I'm like, okay, fine.
You'll listen to the Fear Factor guy.
Finally. I'm like, the Joe Rogan, the Fear Factor dude, like, really? Yeah, okay, I'll check it out, you know, and I checked out, like, one of his, like, stand-up things, and it was pretty funny. It was, like, he was screaming, and it was pretty funny, so I enjoyed it. I was like, okay, I'm going to check out his podcast, and what I loved about it, and here's what, you know, comes back to podcasting, is it seemed effortless, and now I know that that's not true. You know, it's not effortless. You have to really be engaged and paying attention, and your energy has to be up, or I guess it doesn't have to be, but it to be entertaining, you know, and I would hear Joe Rogan just messing up, you know, his live reads, talking shit, saying this, saying nonsense, and I liked that, and I think other people like that, too. I could sense that I wasn't the only one. Obviously, he was fairly popular already when I got into him, but that was the first thing, and he just reached 1,000 episodes, which is insane.
That's a lot.
215, 216 a
month. Dude, I'm in the 90s, man. You're killing me.
It's just once a week.
Actually, I'm in the 40s.
One episode a week. Sorry. Every Friday on Adobe Radio.
Oh, you're on Adobe Radio? I wasn't sure about that. Let's talk about Adobe Radio for a second. No. yeah, that's why I got you on this show. Zing. No,
because I would have done it anyway.
But. Oh, thank you. No, Joe Rogan, from what I've seen, and I said, I owe you another dollar, Emily. Shit. But Joe Rogan, he talks a lot about martial arts, and he talks a lot about science, and he educates a lot of people, and a lot of people, you know, if you were to see him on the street, you might just be like, that dude looks jockey, but that dude is so smart, and he's such a good comic, and I was actually a skeptic too, because it'd be kind of like if someone's like, yo, listen to the Jeff Probst podcast, and I'd be like, the Survivor guy? Why would I listen to that? But Joe Rogan, I think he's found a way to really carve his own niche outside of Fear Factor and kill it. So.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Another guy I listen to is Tim Ferriss. He's an author, but he's so much more. He interviews tons of really interesting people. The Jamie Foxx interview is out of control good. I think it got, like, Podcast of the Year.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty amazing. If you're into business stuff, I like Mixergy, the business podcast. Radiolab is amazing if you just like stories and weird stories, really well produced. If you're into military and like jujitsu, war stuff, Jocko podcast is really good, leadership kind of thing.
Well, now when you're on the road, it's great because obviously when you were touring in the 90s and even the early 2000s, you didn't have access to all these things. And so now
absolutely not.
It's pretty amazing. The information that one can acquire now is unreal. So I'm all for podcasts. I have one of my best friend in the world. He's an attorney in Detroit, and he, every time he drives to work and every time he drives back, he's either listening to some podcast or NPR, and he found a way to make traffic fun. So props to that.
Yeah, it's all perspective. Like, you know, every now and then I'll talk about Zen. I'll talk about me, you know, my podcast, talking about being in traffic and how mm-hmm. you just have to get Zen. And then I go on and on about it. But that's the thing. It's like, it just depends on what you like. My wife's really into murder podcasts. And I'm like, why are you learning so much about murders?
You mean historical murder or murder mysteries?
Well, murder mysteries. Like, historic, like real murders. But like a podcast that talks about this murder, you know, this legendary murder, and then this one, and then this one, and whew, you know.
Well, I guess let's discuss quickly, because we honestly don't have too much time left. So, which is badass. So, on your show, and then we'll get into the family. We'll close out with the real meat and potatoes. For some reason, I've given this meat analogy a bunch. It's just kind of weird because you're playing Goldfinger and he's like hardcore anti-meat. So sorry about that, John Feldman. But basically,
no meat allowed in the dressing room. I'm not allowed in there.
I understand. Or a meat market at Warped Tour. So you've interviewed a whole bunch of people, and I'm not going to talk about anyone specifically. I just want you to mention one interview where at the beginning you had a certain expectation, and then the end it shifted, because that's happened to me multiple times. Is there any specific person that occurred for? It could be good or bad, whatever you want to say. Obviously, I don't think you're going to talk shit, but, you know, is there anything like that where there was, I guess, kind of a revelation where you're like, whoa, I did not expect that?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of who that was.
Well, I would say, real quick, this interview is not what I expected it to be, because we just talked about completely different things than I thought, but not bad, like, at all.
Wow! Oh my god, I just got 2 inches taller.
So that's a good thing, right?
Yeah, dude, I'm 5'9", I'm so average. I would love to be 5'11".
I'm 5'9 and a half.
Well, you're taller than me. Way to one-up me, Mike. God, or half-up me. So I guess we can close this out. So you mentioned your wife, and tell me, you know, I believe you have a child or 17, I'm not sure, one of those, or maybe more. You have offspring, correct?
Two.
Wow.
Dos.
That's Spanish for two. So, I mean, I just got married a year ago, and I do not have any children yet. I'm hoping to someday, but
congrats.
Thank you. So, and congrats to you on being, I'm sure, a badass father playing your Takamine guitars. So, like, tell me. Well, I follow you on Instagram, Mike, so I see your Takamine stuff. So, at any rate, you're a father of two. You're a husband. Has the paradigm shifted for you as far as your goals? Because, you know, I heard a rumor that everything changes when that happens. So,
yes. I mean, yes and no. I think my goal has always been to be happy. So the kids bring happiness, and it's a lot of work. But I think that's just like what we talked about earlier, without saying it, which is everything takes time and effort, and being immersed in something will really tell you whether or not that's where you need to be. And you immerse yourself in being a parent, being a dad. It's the best. It totally gives you a new perspective on what's important and what's not important, what can wait. And I feel like it makes me a better person. I mean, you know, you slip back into your selfish ways now and again when you're tired or haven't eaten or, mm-hmm. I mean, just, enjoy sleep now. Like, don't have any for a while. Enjoy marriage. Enjoy sleep. Like, we were 10 years into our marriage before we even got anywhere close to pregnant. So,
oh wow.
Yeah. So we traveled the world, and I did everything. So it was fun. You know.
And you haven't slept since child one.
But now I just don't sleep.
No, I have trouble sleeping as is, dude. So you just scare the shit out of me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I do everything I did before, not everything. I don't boat anymore, at least not with my own boat. I sold that, but this is depressing. The more I realize it, oh my gosh! But no, it's the best. The thing is I just get up earlier, and I'm up earlier, hanging with the kids more, and then I go and do everything I do with MHPX and with the podcasting, with whatever it is, solo stuff. I got solo shows that I do.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Well,
I love it.
You sound semi-busy, so we'll let you go in a few. So, Emily, thank you so much for literally everything that you do, including building the computer that records this show. We appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem.
From scratch. And so I'm going to close this out by saying again, thank you, Mike. How can people listen to the Adobe show, the Mike Herrera Hour?
Every Friday night at 8 p.m. on the East Coast. It's on Adobe. It mm-hmm. airs a brand new episode. And then, of course, you got to do your math if you're somewhere else in the world, but you can get it on my website as well. It's on iTunes, Stitcher, all the, you know, Google Play and all that. But MikeFerrera.net for the show notes and the nice pictures and all that if you want to know more about the guest.
Well, I just I knew that your show was on Fridays, but my show is actually on Tuesdays at that same exact time. Do the math. So,
nice.
So our shows are almost the same. It's crazy.
We're close. Very close.
So I guess plug your Twitter, plug your Instagram, just so people can check out these pictures of Takamine's and performing with Goldfinger. And
yeah, a lot of live performances on my Instagram, a lot of like bass stuff and just fun stuff. It's fun. But Mike Herrera, TD. So Mike, if you can spell MikeHerrera, TD. The TD stands for whatever you want it to stand for, but I say it's till death.
Ooh, I thought it was tumble down, so I was wrong.
Most people think it's tumble down. But, there's a funny story behind that is the guys from the band These Nuts. Are you familiar with them?
Yeah, of course I am, and I just laughed because I have a 20-year-old woman in front of me. And you said, that's amazing. Keep going. These Nuts are awesome. Keep going.
Well, long story short, and I'll let you go.
No, dude, I could talk to you forever, Mike.
They all have nicknames, and at the end they say TD, and it's for till death. And I'm kind of like a fellow homie. Like whenever I'm with them, I party with them, I hang with them. They treat me like family. And then I know that sounds weird, like I'm this older guy, but
it doesn't.
Like they love MXPX, of course, and that's the connection and why they treat me so well. But like we hang together, and so like I just when I was getting Twitter. My Herrera was taken, so I went TD. And it just worked with Tumbledown as well.
Let's talk about the person who stole your Twitter. That's messed up, bro. You're not Mike Herrera. That's messed up.
I know. It's probably a pretty common name, to be honest, but I've met 100 Mikes in my life. Maybe more. But I've never met a Mike Herrera.
Neither have I, and I've met you. Paradox. So,
weird.
No, but we were just discussing this. Emily, can you name four other Mikes that have been on this show?
Mike Fishkin, Mike Cubillos.
Mike Mowry. Yep.
And Mike Herrera.
Yay!
Who was the second one? Mike Padilla?
No. Mike What's Fishkin, this? who's Fish, who actually
no,
told
me. The
second
me, one.
Mike Cubillos. He is actually a publicist, and I'm going to It's Not Dead Fest. I said this before you're on, but it's like the total punk rock festival this weekend, and
yep.
He's the one who he asked me to be the Adobe rep because I am the old LA dude because Mike Fishkin is 25 and he's driving me there and I'm trying to educate him on Buzzcocks and stuff. So there you go.
Oh, nice! I know Mike Fishkin. I played the first It's Not Dead Fest. I'm aware of that.
It's so cool. And
it's a fun one. You're going to have a good time.
I'm so excited. I'm going to be interviewing a lot of people. I think I'm interviewing Good Riddance and Mad Caddies, so I'm stoked on that. But Fish actually told me to say that on Lyman's bus, you were talking mad late, like really late into the night. He told me to say that to you. I don't know if that means anything to you. But that's
we were hanging.
Hanging. So I guess we're going to close this out with a high five. And Emily, I said we'd be done at 3:57. What time is it?
It's 3:57.
Yay! All right, Mike. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And hopefully we'll talk soon.
All
All right, I appreciate it. Thanks so much. Have a good night.